my dear devotees, we are just before the entering the month of Kartik. Maybe some of you have started already last Ekadasi. Others have the plan to do so, to enter Kartik tomorrow. And do this in the sacred land of Vrindavan. And I thought, like each year, when I arrive in Vrindavan, that I will speak about some of the insights and ideas which I have which I tell to myself before entering the month of Kartik. I think that it will help all of you to hear this. It will also cement a little bit our spiritual relationship, because you might remember some things which you hear today. And I intend to just sing a little kirtan, then read and explain from the shastras. You may see that I'm a little bit, almost fragile. Not that is a correct observation. It was a very effective treatment, but more than that, visiting Vrindavan and coming here has a lot to do with my ultimate aspirations in my spiritual life. I am very, very eager to make contact with the divine couple. I have often said in the past that I do not appreciate so much the distant God, the one who's just philosophized about, but it is the close Lord whom we experience, by whose presence we are touched and transformed, purified and uplifted. You know, when I hear statements that Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, that is the not only the friend of his devotees. Vatsalya is a bhava which is felt by a mother or father towards the child. The mother and the father want that the child, that everything is very, very, very good in the life of the child. I remember Sri Radhika, who arranged, has just completed the marriage of their eldest son, Sudev, and there was a lot of arrangements, both in America, and then in Braj, and then in Slovenia. Why so much, I mean, so much expense, so much efforts were made, because as a mother, she and Rakesh naturally want that everything is 100% auspicious for the child, that the child is happy. So that is called Vatsalya in this world, the parental care. There is no effort which is not done by a parent to ensure the well-being of their child, at least in healthy families. So Krishna is said to have the same quality. He d- does not spare any effort. So just like Krishna is the Bhakta Vatsala in relationship to his devotees, the month of Kartik, I just heard, is the most well-wishing month for the devotees. This is when all the mercy of the Lord, the parental mercy, the caring mercy of the Lord is available. So when I read this, I thought, also for me? I am thinking like this. I cannot think that this is only there in the scriptures and this will fly over my head and land somewhere else. I think it should, if possible, if it could land in my heart, then this would be very good if I could experience this. So this is what I meant. I'm not interested so much in the distant God, but in the close God, the direct experience. So let us just sing a little bit, a small kirtan, just to enter the atmosphere. I'm reading regularly as in preparation for my going to Vrindavan in the two prayer books by Narottam Das Thakur. One is called the Prarthana, the other the Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And I have a study guide which I consult, written by Yadunandan Swami. And I have also one copy published by Touchstone Media with the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to the verses he comments about. And what struck me as important is Narottam Das appeared in Keturi, that is in Bengal, and he constantly desired to come to Vrindavan. And it's nicely described in his biography when he finally entered Vrindavan Dham. He was overwhelmed by the tremendous atmosphere of Braj, and he was so absolutely, how do you say, overwhelmed that he did not know he did not know any sense of direction. So he asked some ladies, he saw a temple in the distance, and he asked some ladies who came carrying cow dung patties, and what is this temple? And the lady said, that's Govindaji Mandir, where the Govinda deity is worshipped. And it is described, he ran as if he had grown wings, like a bird. He came to Govindaji, and he was then seeing the Lord of the Yoga Pit, Govinda Stali. There he was finally fainting. So later in his works, where he describes how to attain Krishna consciousness, his two books, he wrote a lot about Braj and Brajavas, how one should live. That one, first of all, he said one should go to Vrindavan, and then he made it clear how, when one is in Vrindavan, one should live there. And I would like to read you one of his recommendations. One should live in Vrindavan in a continuous mood of respect, love, and loving attachment, while desiring to be counted among Srimati Radhika's near and dear ones. And like this, and he He then gives other descriptions how one should live in Vrindavan. And the idea is really one should hanker to be counted amongst Radha and Krishna's dear devotees. One lives here in the in a longing to really receive the proper, it's called bhava, inner attitude, the proper mood, and also one should live here with a great longing to have love of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami has described in his book, which you Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which I think many of us have read, the spiritual, could we say, odyssey, the spiritual journey, where there were many detours which took Gop Kumar eventually to the eternal Vrindavan. And there is an interesting detail. Gop Kumar had already reached Dvaraka in the spiritual world. You know, he had left the material universe and he had arrived in Dvaraka. It was already, you could say, he was a soul not only liberated from the cycle of birth and death, but a soul who has had, who had developed a relationship to Krishna, Dvaraka Krishna. But because Gop Kumar was meant to develop a relationship to the Krishna as he runs around and deals with his devotees in Vrindavan, this very informal and loving mood, he did not feel satisfied, and he naturally asked himself, how will I ever become satisfied in my journey? I'm already almost a liberated soul. I'm no longer in the material world, but I still feel there is a vacancy in my heart. I feel an emptiness and deep, deep dissatisfaction in my heart. And so he met in Dvaraka someone who knew about Vrindavan. It's Uddhava, who had visited Vrindavan as a messenger of Krishna, and who, when he associated with the devotees in Vrindavan, he had a total change in mind. He could understand that the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna and Krishna's love for the residents of Vrindavan cannot be compared with any other form of love of Godhead and of God. He was a minister, he was a kshatriya, but he surprised the world by, he stayed 9 months, I heard. He overstayed his stay. He was only there really to send a message, but he couldn't leave Vrindavan. And he had one prayer. He wanted to get this type of love which the Brijbasis have for Krishna. And he thought, if I ask those who have it directly, they will not give it to me. So I must take on a disguise and somehow get this love through a device. So he prayed actually to become, to give up his weapons as a kshatriya, to give up his mood as a kshatriya, to become a little bush, it's a little, small little plant. It's not big, because listen, what he wanted, this plant had to be Nietzsche or low, because he wanted the dust of the residents of Vrindavan when they would walk down, and he had some special residents in mind, the gopis. He was thinking they are closest to Krishna, and when they come running through Vrindavan to find Krishna, they don't go by any path, they don't go by any road, they just run wherever their feet take them. And I wish to be one of these small plants, then the dust will fall on my head, and then I might be blessed with this love of Godhead, no? This love for Krishna. I might also be able to enter this rasa. This Krishna only reveals himself fully with in the company of those whom he loves most. For instance, if you would like to know how Atul really is, you would have to see him with his future wife, and then you would see he's not at all a formal person, but he jokes and he smiles a lot and everything. No, any person reveals himself, the qualities become shown in the company of those who he loves most. I hope I didn't inconvenience you by the example. I think a very human example, which we, every one of us, is like this. No, we are little reserved, but when we are with those who are close to us and dear to us, we can finally be the way we are. No, isn't it that we all experience this? No, is this normal? It is good. If it would be different, what humans would we be? We would be strange. We would have to be locked up. You know. So this Krishna is like he really is. The real Krishna is when he is with those who love him most and whom he loves most. Then he's the real Krishna. So Gop Kumar understood this when he met Uddhava, that if you want to really experience Krishna, Madan Gopal Krishna Vraj, then you have to go to Vrindavan and be with the Brijvasis. You know, the eternal Ragatmika Bhaktas. So I will read to you now. When Gop Kumar arrived in this earthly Braj, he entered a similar emotional state. Similar state? Like the devotees, when they see the empty forests, rivers, mountains, and so on, they automatically get feelings of humility and love. Overwhelmed, these devotees, with their hearts full of the burning separation, loudly cry out, alas, alas, as they search for Sri Krishna. You know, you find such devotees here and there in Braj. They run around and they cry. I remember when I lived in one holy place, every morning, at 3 o'clock, I could hear, because my sleep was not firm at 3 o'clock, one devotee coming down the Parikram path, just crying and playing the kartals. Every morning around 3 o'clock he started. I think he went on Govardhan Parikrama. So Gop Kumar came to Vrindavan on this planet, this Vrindavan where you are. And he says, I came to Braj and went to see the many places of Sri Krishna's pastimes while I was singing my favorite names of Krishna. While loudly and sweetly singing about Krishna's pastimes, I fixed my mind upon them. And I must tell you, I attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional that it embarrasses me even to think of it. So how then can I describe this to anyone? You know, this is an example of someone who is in Vrindavan and is overwhelmed with feelings. He feels ashamed and embarrassed to tell it to the public. In this way, I passed many days and nights. However, I did not know whether my bhajan was bringing immense joy or immense misery. Was I living in a forest fire, or was I submerged in the cooling sweet waters of Yamuna ji? That I cannot say. So he's describing, he was overwhelmed by devotional feelings. And this is how you have to stay in Vrindavan. Many therefore say it's not good to stay so long in Vrindavan if you come into material sentiments. And especially it is not good to stay at the holiest of holy places, says in Vrindavan, in a mindset of an ordinary soul. That's why some great acharyas have requested their disciples not to stay in the very holy places, because then you start to see the Dharma with material eyes and create a mentality that displeases Radha and Krishna. No? So I know the ISKCON wallahs, of those who are connected with ISKCON, always want the highest, the fastest way, and that may not always work out for them. So as he was just overwhelmed with this desire to be with Krishna, suddenly Lord Krishna appeared before him. He was just lying there crying, "Oh Krishna, Krishna." And he took his cool hand and he wiped first of all the dust away from his body. He was all full of dust. And by the cooling touch of Krishna's hand, he woke up from his swoon and he started to run after Krishna. Krishna, seeing here is a madman trying to catch me, a mad lover, ran and disappeared in some kunj. Then he vanished and I collapsed on the ground. So this is also the mood of the Goswamis. They are here greatly agitated and distressed. They wander everywhere in Vrindavan and they cry out, "O Radhe, O Braja Devi, O Lalite, O Nandana, Nandana, where are you now?" It will naturally, and the light will come back. Yeah. So are you maybe at Sri Govardhana ji here? Or are you under the desire trees on the bank of Yamuna ji? Where are you? So this is entering into the Braj Bhakti. It is an intense desire really for coming close to Radha and Krishna. I want to now read to you from Pratana, and I will ask Atul Krishna to go to my red carry-on bag. It's already open and there should be Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And I will read to you a few verses what this really means, or how we can access these feelings, how we can get rid of our dullness, our spiritual inertia, our deep rooted I don't care, and so on. And this is only possible by entering through a specific road, Vrindavan, to Vrindavan. I don't know if you have entered the road, if you have entered through this road. If you have not yet entered through this road, you will find this road also in Vrindavan. It's not too late. It's never too late for bhakti. It is the road of surrender. And not my plan, not my wish, but your wish, and so on. When I came, Krishna Murari told me, yes, we can have our plans in Vrindavan, but the plans are already made for each one of you. It's Krishna has made them, and the earlier you surrender, the better. This self-surrender is very important. We may be in a German body, we may be in a Spanish body, we may be in the body of a Brijbasi who was born here. We have to come to this self-surrender. Then we really enter the real Vrindavan. O Lord, Narottam Das says, you are the ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor. Please mercifully glance towards me. I have fallen into the ocean of illusion, where the veils in the form of lust are trying to swallow me. Please protect me, O Lord. So he says, you are an ocean of mercy, Dayara Sindhu. Even Brahma and Shiva are surprised by the two types of mercy which Krishna has shown us in this world. It is inconceivable. The first type of mercy is called Mayamayi Karuna. It's the illusory world. You can get anything you want in this dreamland, in this illusory land. You can be rich, you can be, if you are determined, conceive, believe, achieve. The self-improvement people will tell you, whatever you can think of, you can get in this material world. What you can't think of, you will not get. But at the bottom of each experience which we have in this world, there is also the realization that this is limited. It cannot satisfy me entirely. Have you also made this experience, or are you still thinking you can get unlimited enjoyment? Some are not sure, I can see, but I think some of you have seen the best things you can imagine. The best things money can buy you. Best partnerships, those of you who are married. At the bottom of everything, you will, when you go deep enough, you will find, it's limited. It cannot satisfy the hankering of my soul. No? You have this all right for me to say, or you are not, you are a little shocked, or I can't read your faces at the moment. It is known, no? That is Krishna's mercy, that he does not give us a Disneyland. Even Disneyland, after a few hours, I heard it's frustrating. I never went, but depends how much you can resonate with these things, but I guess then it can, for some it can take a little longer, but I can't imagine the whole year for someone for a child to stay in Disneyland. So Krishna has made it like this, and then there are also some consequences. We have learned that we start to suffer when we are going beyond what is naturally given to us, and then try to have more enjoyment. It is so, we know this, but Krishna has given another mercy, that is the Swarup Shakti Mayi Karuna. That is his own energy is there in the form of, he has invested that into saints, into the holy Dham, into the holy name, into where else is Krishna's energy? In this month of Kartik, he has really given this direct mercy. No, where we can contact Krishna. This, who can imagine such mercy which Krishna has given? I have fallen into the ocean of illusion, where the veils in the form of lust are trying to swallow me. The word which Narottam Das Thakur here uses is not just an ordinary pot veil or sperm veil. I have recently had to make a thorough study about many types of veils. I'm now a veil expert, something like this. It was for a lecture on psychology where I needed this. And there is one fish, it's called the Timingala, who can even swallow Moby Dick. Moby Dick is known in literature as the most heavy whale you can imagine. So if you meet this whale, you cannot fight it. It has a mouth bigger than this duplex. It is so. So Narottam says, I am not able to control this veil of lust that is may not always relate to what in the West we understand lust to be. It can relate to this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. I just can't control it on my own. It swallows me. It's like when I meet a Timingala. I can't fight the Timingala. This is what he says. So you must save me. And then he says, but Krishna, you might say, why should I save you? Because you have made in the past so many offenses against me, and there is no guarantee that you will stop making offenses against me. But Narottam says, O Lord of my life, please know that you are my only hope, just as the husband is the only hope for a chaste wife. Imagine in a marriage relationship, the wife who has, imagine in the Indian scenario, the Western scenario may not work entirely as an analogy, but the woman has left her relatives, her village, has gone to the house of her husband, is chaste to him. And somehow there is a misunderstanding and a terrible quarrel has arisen. The wife has no place to go. The in-laws of the old village will not take her back. The only hope for this person is that somehow she makes up with her husband. No? Husband is, what is it called? Pati Devata. This, for the wife, it's like a god, like a god. No? So she's absolutely dependent on her. Of course, the husband will accept the wife. But if the wife is not chaste, if she is, the English word is adulteress, do you know what that is? She has been with another man, then the husband will not accept the wife again. So in the same way, when a devotee, as long as he tries to take shelter in Krishna, Krishna will always protect him. But if the devotee runs away from Krishna, if he starts to worship for it, this is what we don't do in the West, but demigods, or if he takes shelter in, I do not know, esoteric things, yoga, different concepts, then Krishna says, you have taken other shelter, now you may run and go by this new shelter. No, you please try. So, but as long as a devotee holds on to Krishna, he can be sure of the Lord's protection. He has no other shelter. Please give me some insignificant service and consider me as your own servant. There's many more prayers like this in the section self-surrender, but I just wanted to give you a little bit a taste. It's this what our acharyas describe to be the right mood to be in the Dham. It's really taking full shelter of Krishna with a desire to please him. It's yearning for Krishna. And you have to try to keep this mood up. It will not be easy. There will be, because we have been away from Krishna, we have followed our plans and our own designs, how we can make advancement. We know who we are. We are in the family. I know most of you. I know your obstacles, and we don't need to hide them amongst family members. It's not required. And so we will make some mistakes, but we should keep this mood and keep on praying and longing for this, and for sure it will be given to us in Braj, because what is it if a parent sees the child looking honestly for shelter? Radha sees us, Krishna sees us, they will take care. And I think all of us in the Dham have experienced this. Sometimes they need to give us the bitter mercy. I think we all know what that is. And then finally our stubborn head is cracked. And then we can take shelter without any difficulty. And then from 1 minute to the next, there is unlimited sweetness is available. We all know this. The Krishna. Yeah, these are some thoughts which I have in my mind. I want to end here what I have said. I will request Krishna Murari to address all of us also, because he came like every year to take me from Delhi, and I think he also knows that has thought a little what to say this evening, and so we will request him to speak. We will put
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Yes, it's even being in an association of the like-minded devotees, which we all are, it makes for us, for all of us, to be, you know, easier to follow something. And it is, I was just reading recently in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that Rupa Goswami has, Gopala Bhatta Goswami has mentioned that, you know, the benefit of observing Kartik month in Vrindavan is even superior than taking snans at various holy places. You know, he specifically mentions one number, like it is not even, you know, observing in Kartik and Vrindavan is even more superior to taking holy, like 1 lakh holy baths at the holy places. So it's compared to that. And I was asking a teacher, you know, my own teacher, about this thing, that why it is like that, why observing in Kartik in Vrindavan is so much beneficial. So the specific thing is because this month is dominated by Radharani, and who in herself is a lady, who is in herself a lady, Shakti form of Krishna. And it is really easier to please mother than to please the father. And that's why she is also known as Urjeshwari, means the one who is the energy, the supreme energy. And she gives the energy, the force, that urja, that strength which is required to move on in the vrata. Also, to follow some vrata, there are always some do's and don'ts. We do something and we don't, we have to not do something. So there are three things. Kayik means we have to do seva and avoid aparadh with our physical body, that is kayik, and vachik, with our words, that we don't speak such words which even displease someone, and then we do something which please someone. And manasik, even in our minds. So we have to do seva with body, words and mind, and avoid aparadhas. And specifically, like 5 or 7 days before, I was really hearing one sadhu explaining about the five parts, the five angas, five parts of Kartik Vrata in Vrindavan. So he specifically was mentioning these five. I have noted them down and I wish to really share this. The first thing he shares is taking a, you know, sankalpa before any vrata starts. We have to take sankalpa. And these five parts in this Kartik Vrata, the first one is pratashnanam. Pratashnanam is taking an early morning bath. And because it is tradition in Braj that many Brajbasis observe Kartik month by taking early morning bath. They go to holy lakes and they take bath. The second is Krishna Smaranam. If you take early bath and sit on an asana and remember Krishna, chant his names. The third thing is Deep Danam, you know, offering lamps. And the fourth thing is Bhagavat Smaranam, Shravanam. Means hearing. Bhagavat means hearing from the Vedic text, hearing from the text. Bhagavat also means hearing from great souls, because great souls are also known as Bhagavat. And the fifth thing is Vrat Sampurnam, means when you end your vrata, you should do Tulsi Sevanam, means serve the Tulsi Marani, because Tulsi Viva comes in the end. And Brahma Poshanam. Brahma Poshanam means maybe feeding the brahmanas and the devotees, whomsoever you wish to feed in the end of the vrata. So yes, these are little, you know, sharing from my side. And specifically, you know, it is said that when one comes to Braj, he should do these three things. The first thing is, you know, having that humility, dinata, then bhav that I'm most fallen and I'm allowed by some arrangements I'm here. The second thing is rupa dhyanam means knowing and, you know, having this intention to know about that form of Lord which is living here. And this is not just about Vrindavan, going to any dham. First thing is having that humble nature that I am allowed here. I cannot come on my own. By arrangements, I have come here. The second thing is rupa dhyanam, that which form of Lord lives here, how he really is. And the third thing is chanting the naam, guna, qualities and leelas of Krishna, which, you know, in specific, like if we go to Jagannath Puri, we do this about Jagannath. If we come to Vrindavan, this is this thing, because we have to really love and learn who really Krishna is, then only we can love someone, specifically Krishna. And yes, this is something from my side, and please, it is Nagri Das, one of the very great saint who lived in Barsana. At the ending part of his life, like the essence which he writes is that Nagariya Brajabas Kripa Fal Paiye, that oh Nagri Das, you know, remember this again and again, that Brajabas, whoever gets it, is just by the mercy of Kripa, just by mercy you get it. And then he expresses what is the cost, you know, what are we to repay Thakurji that we should do, so that, you know, he is merciful on us in that way. Then he says, Natvar Nagar Nandalal Naam Nishde Nagaiye. You have to sing the names of Nandalal every day. That is the only cost. If you are being blessed by Thakurji to be there to do Prajapas, you have to chant the names. Otherwise, this mercy may end very soon. So please let us, you know, it's in the association of good devotees, and especially in Vrindavan, it's really possible to hear and to really do the vrata in a very nice way. You know, everything is available. We just need to be a little cautious and start doing the vrata. Otherwise, in the outside places, it's not so much comfortable. Comfortably cannot be achieved, but here it's possible. So please take maximum benefit. Uh-huh. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Wonderful. Can you please again let us go through the five parts of the vrata again?
The first is sankalpa, that we take some vows.
Yeah.
The first is pratashnanam.
Yes,
take an early morning bath. Second is Krishna Smarnam, chanting Krishna's names.
Yeah.
The third is Deepdanam,
yes,
offering lamps. And fourth is Bhagavat Shravanam,
mm-hmm,
hearing Bhagavat and hearing from Bhagavatas.
Yes.
And fifth is Vrat Sampurnam, ending our vrata in a nice way.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Fantastic, yeah. The store is open and we can plunder if we do these things. Are in the mood of the service, and we avoid the obstacles, the aparatas. Wonderful. Yeah, I also wish you all the best. In a way, many of you come again and again, are often for Kartik here. And please be careful when you are doing something very often. You do sometimes lose the intensity of the practice. So at the same time, we are not the doer. It's not so difficult. We just need to look in the right direction and want in the right direction. And here so much kripa is flowing. I think we can feel we are at home. Like when I very much liked the day I was greeted in Nandagram by one Rishbasi whom I very much respect. And he said, can you give me just an advice how to enter Vrindavan? And he said, just enjoy the bliss of Vrindavan. That is, you know, the childlike. We have come to Radharani and Krishna, and they are happy that we are here. They will take care of us. We are home. So this is from my side. You might, we are still thinking if we will do it. I'd like to do it, and the pujaris of the Haridev Mandir have invited us again. Would be nice in the midst of the Kartik to again sing for Haridev Kirtan, to do some Naam Gayate, no? The singing the holy name. It would be very nice. It doesn't depend on a big crowd. We will not announce it very, very, very. The crowds will, they are coming all over the year. This is a different thing. So if you wish to be invited, you might, the best is, I think, yes, to give your telephone number. Balanandini has arranged it the last few years, and she can just send you an invitation or information over what's not up, you know, over what's up and all these things which are convenient to use.